The next day, while riding, they saw a kid with red hair sitting in the road, almost a man in his limbs, still a boy in the cheeks. He failed to move on their approach and had his head in his hands, looking at the dirt. "What are you doing, son?" Gray said. "Watching ants. What are you doing out here?" "They're big bastards." Gray looked at his brother and at the trees surrounding them. "Is your dad nearby?" "He's digging." They lashed their horses to a tree near the red-haired kid. John turned and tried to get the boy to meet his gaze. The boy didn't. "Oi, you need to look at me." The red-haired kid looked up and his freckled face was burned and red. He blinked at the flies. "What? You think you can watch our horses?" He looked at them. "We need these horses." "I get it. We want to speak to your dad." "That's okay. You look after those horses and I'll give you this." In his hands, he brandished a small knife, its blade dull and used. "This knife was given to me by my dad a long time ago. He was a mongrel, though. It's been used for a lot of things." "Like what?" "A lot of things. You can see it's used. But it had come up good with the polish. So, you can wash these horses for us?" The boy looked at the knife and then the horses and nodded solemnly. "Which way is your dad?" The boy gestured behind himself. Gray and John walked off the track and into the bush, following the sounds of movement further along, the leaf litter thick and dry beneath their feet. "What are you promising the kid the knife for?" Gray asked. They came upon a rise and, looking down, saw a man on a shore with a pan shifting dirt. He watched them as they approached and eyed a musket that lay nearby. He was a bigger bloke, with golden hair lining his forearms and a mighty red beard. Behind him stood a boy much younger than the other, and the man rested his hand on the boy's head. This boy had darker skin and looked Aboriginal with his thick black hair. Maybe he was, and was nothing at all to them. "You won't need that," Gray offered, nodding towards the rifle. "Man intent on robbing me would say the same thing," the man said. Gray smiled in that affecting way of his. "We won't come down. We just thought to stop when we saw your boy, thought to see how you're getting on. This is my claim." "We know that." John added, "We have no intent on panning at all, mate. We've done our dash in the rivers." "Man intent on stealing this claim would say likewise." "Well, I'm not sure I can dissuade you of that with anything else. Do I need to show you our horses and the lack of pans lashed to the saddles?" The man looked at them both. His beard had water in it. The pan half swished free of debris. Even from the distance, there were glints of gold, sparking light. "What do you want?" "Just thought to see how you're getting on," Gray repeated. Grunting, swishing the pan, sitting back on his heels, looking intent. "I had a few small sparks," he said. "Nothing grand. Nothing big enough to warrant digging." "We turned out all right on a claim north of here." "Yeah?" Gray looked at him, but John added, "Well, enough. Didn't find much in the river, but dug down nearby and found a seam. Found a few decent nuggets." The man pinched his mouth, sucked his teeth. "Well, good on you, I suppose. Can't hurt digging a bit. Thank you for your words." He was clearly done with them. He turned his back and went to the shore where there was a rocky overhang, and he chipped away at the hard earth. Dust and rock fell into his pan, and he kept chipping with his hammer until the pan was full. When he turned, he realized the brothers were still there. "Well, guess we'll leave you to it then," John said. "Is my boy okay by the road?" "He seems fine. You tell him to come see me?" "We will. Good luck to you." They walked from him, and the sound of the pan being swelled and the birds behind him in the otherwise silent forest sent their memories back to when they had done the same for days and months. They went through the forest and found the red-haired kid by their horses. When they had unleashed the horses from the trees and sat atop them and found all their gear where they'd left it, the red-haired kid said, "You got that knife for me then? I watched your horses like you said." "You need to be not so trusting, mate." John urged his horse forwards and knew his brother's eyes were on his back as he left. Soon, though, he heard his brother's horse moving in unison behind him. "You can't just do that," the red-haired kid shouted. "Why not?" "It's not fair." "That's true." Well, then you can't do it." "Life's unfair. Best you learn that early." The red-haired kid's hurried footsteps behind them, approaching them quickly. John didn't bother turning. He said, with volume, "Have a think before you do something drastic, son. Have a think on what I said about the knife." The footsteps stopped, the horse behind him continuing on. He didn't hurry. They rounded a corner, and only then did he look back and see the kid had followed them there and stood watching them both with anger in his fists.